Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. It's an honor for me, actually, to be able to spend some time with you and for you to take some time to spend with me, wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. Thank you for doing that. You're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Joel Barker is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Joel is a longtime friend of mine. He was a friend of mine before he knew he was a friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, because I was learning in his knee almost 20 years ago. I began doing that, listening to his words, reading his words. He's the author of Future Edge, which was released as a book on called Paradigms as in paperback. He's also the author of the new book, Five Regions of the Future. He's a filmmaker and the resident futurist of the Small Business Advocate Show. Joel Barker, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. The resident futurist, I love that.
Congratulations
for your Google thing. That's a new interesting measure, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting? And of course, I have to remind people that, you know, I've never given Google a penny for that. That's just an organic position. But you're right. That's an interesting new kind of a credential that people have. And for whatever that's worth, Joel, almost 20 years ago, you taught me long before you knew me, you taught me about paradigms, and you taught me about paradigm shifts, and that concept opening my eyes up to that kind of a dynamic out there in my future really changed my thinking, changed the way I approach things, and it was very important. And I've mentioned this before, but this week I've been talking about it. The last couple of weeks, actually, I've used the term paradigm shift, and I've told people that you were the one who taught me that. When I look across the landscape of the marketplace and I see the fact that 100 plus year old investment banks are no longer here, that there are no more major investment banks on Wall Street, and the government now has ownership positions in corporations and banks and intending to do more of that. This tell me that this is anything different from a paradigm shift.
Well, it is a paradigm shift, and one of the other measures is just how fast it happened. This was not a trend that
it was breathtaking,
over eight
wasn't it?
Years. It was almost instantaneous.
Breathtaking.
Think about the last 100 years.
Yeah. And
so the nature of paradigm shifts is when they occur, they aren't, and then they are. And when it happens, it causes massive readjustment. You know, one of the things is everybody goes back to zero. Now we have
I love that part. Say that again. Say that last part again. This is the thing I'll never forget about paradigm shifts. Say it again. Yeah.
When a paradigm shift, everybody goes back to zero. That means no matter how good you were in the old game, it doesn't guarantee anything in the new game. You've got to figure out the new rules. And now what are the new rules with the United States of America in an equity position in major investment companies, which we've never had in our history, as far
ever.
As I know.
Ever.
In fact, wasn't it J.P. Morgan who bailed the United States?
It was the
out?
Other way around in the 30s.
Yeah.
J.P. Morgan saved the United States in the 30s.
Yeah, he took an equity position in the United States.
yeah. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, it is,
Joel.
Really. Yeah. But this just tells you, what we did is we played a game. And the game was, let's see if we can securitize stuff that really shouldn't be securitized.
Right.
Wrap it in an envelope such that it looked like it was a really good investment, sell it to the world, and not get caught at it. And the marketplace is a very smart organism if you give it enough time to think. And it thought about those securitized things and said, you know, there's a lot of risk in this.
Yeah.
And the next step was somebody said, I maybe ought to get rid of this. And the cascade began.
Yeah. And, you know, Joel, when I think about these things – the one thing that I think about that was the missing ingredient in all of all this happened, and that the ingredient, that the missing ingredient, who was it that wrote the short story, the missing ingredient? I'm trying to remember who that was, but anyway, there's a missing ingredient here, and that is values. These products, these things that were securitized, these steps that were taken to package and to obfuscate, those things had a tremendous devoid. They were devoid of any kind of values, and that's not what we find on Main Street, Joel. We find lots of values and a strong belief system on Main Street. On Wall Street, we lost those values. We lost that belief system, didn't we?
Well.
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you plug it right back into that when we come back after these messages. He's done this enough, folks. He knows what the music means. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend, Joel Barker.
I get a strong uneven feeling. You're not sitting there alone.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. The first one is where you can find all the things that we do here. The second one is askjim.biz is a knowledge base. It's where you can get small business answers now. Hope you check those out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. Joel Barker is our guest. He's deposited many pearls of wisdom with us during his tenure in our Brain Trust, and you can find those there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Joel is the author of Five Regions of the Future. You got a new video, a new movie coming out soon, right, Joel?
Coming out in January, yep.
All right, can't wait to see it. I hope I get an advanced screening, Joel.
You will. Absolutely.
Joel, we were talking about what I consider to be a lack of values. For two or three years now, Joel, I didn't exactly know what it was, but I had this instinct about what was going on. And for my audience will remember that for the last two or three years, I've been saying Wall Street, in my opinion, seems to be working at cross purposes with Main Street.
Yep.
And now we know that the values are gone, the trust is gone, and I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, and I think the value issue is one, you know, we talk about Main Street. Because you're with your neighbors and your friends, you have a certain level of integrity you have to hold, or they won't do business with you.
Exactly.
Wall Street, because they became highly insular and really homogeneous, they talked to one another, found that one another's values were the same as they had, never got out to the real community, and therefore decided that wrapping this stuff the way they did was good for everyone when it was really only good for themselves.
See, every transaction, every turn of a screw in the marketplace should have some kind of added value, shouldn't it?
Well, it should, and it also should have consequence.
Yeah.
And they thought they could do this without any significant consequence to themselves, and that's who they were really doing it for. The word that you and I have talked about before, and it really is important, is transparency says you don't hide what you're doing. If you've got an investment package so opaque that nobody can figure it out, it ought not go on the market.
That opacity is why we're still hurting right now, because nobody really knows what's out there.
Well, exactly. We've all heard that. People say, well, I'm not really sure if I understand this yet. You know, they've had 2 months now to look at this stuff, and they still haven't figured out where all the connections are.
Right.
But that's the nature of complex systems.
Right.
But it's also the nature of systems when you're not showing all your cards all the time. Funny stuff can happen, and then funny stuff gets amplified in a complex system.
Yeah, absolutely. Joel, one of the things, one last thought on this, and we'll move on to some other stuff.
Yep.
One of the things I've been saying for a long time now is that whatever we're in, wherever we're going, I know who got us into this. Wall Street and our government got us into this.
Yep.
We're all looking to them to help us. But I think it's time for Main Street, especially small business owners, to realize, hey, let's quit looking at the government and Wall Street to get us out of this. Main Street, Joel, is who and what is going to lead us out of whatever we're in right now. What do you think?
Well, and I'm going to put it a different way. With Wall Street, we tried the trickle-down theory. Nobody likes to be trickled on, okay? I'm serious about that.
I know you are. I know you are.
Main Street will be the trickle-up theory.
Yeah,
if we can make Main Street healthy, the rich will get richer as a result of Main Street getting healthy.
That's exactly
the way it should be in a democracy.
It's got to go the other way. I agree with that. I agree with that.
It's time for the rich people to get trickled on. And I guess if it's good for us, it's good for them, right?
Well,
but it's got to trickle up. And if the nice thing about trickle up is that the dollar works all the way up. If the money starts at the top, it doesn't necessarily get down the way we would like it. It does not work down the same way. It works up always to make the owners and the investors better off because they're part of the action. But it trickles up.
And remember this. Most of the trickle in the United States is coming from small businesses. Over 50% of our economy is, and more than 50% of the jobs, 55% of all the innovations in America come from small business owners. Joel, let's change subject and talk about let's talk about the future. Some things that you see coming at us in the future. What is Bucky paper?
About once a month there is a very significant thing about the future. I'm going, this is good. Bucky paper is like a once a year deal. Quick review. Nanotubes were discovered almost 10 years ago now, which are small carbon tubes that are extraordinarily strong. If they're like about 1/50,000th the thickness of a human hair, but if you wove these things into the thickness of a human hair, they would that one piece of fiber would be able to lift an entire semi and the filled semi
on
one fiber, enormously strong. Well, here's the breakthrough. Florida State University has figured out how to take those fibers and turn them into paper. You know how paper is just a whole bunch of stuff kind of mashed together? Well, they're mashing these fibers together, and I want you to hear these numbers because they're just staggering. 10 times lighter than an equivalent thickness of steel, 500 times stronger. Now, all this is, Jim, is carbon properly arranged. So when people say, oh, boy, we're running out
of steel. We got lots of carbon, don't we?
Yeah. Well, this is an innovation that will change everything. Your car will weigh 1/10 of what it weighs and be 10 times safer. Airplanes will weigh less and therefore take less fuel and be safer.
This could create many paradigm shifts. Huh?
Oh, my. Yeah, this is everything.
Yeah. And how long before we can start seeing some of this?
2 to 3 years to start seeing the primitive stuff, and then 5 years full manufacturing.
I'm looking forward to that. Stand by, quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Joel Barker. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joel Barker is our guest. He's the author of 5 Regions of the Future. Also, Future Edge, which is the hardback version of the book that he released in paperback called Paradigms. And all of those books are available out there somewhere, aren't they, Joel?
Yes, they are, though 5 Regions is hard to get now, but Amazon has it.
Yeah, but also the others. And I've seen the others on, seems like I think Amazon may have some used copies of the Paradigm book or something like that. You need to re-release
that
one.
The Paradigm book has never not been released. The Paradigm book has been in constant publication
since
1989.
I'm glad to know that.
You can get a new copy of it anytime you want. Yeah,
I'm glad you told me that. I wasn't sure about that. But I'm looking at my copy right now. Okay, Joel, let's talk about...
I want to finish talking about this Bucky paper, Jim.
Yeah,
because
okay.
I want your audience to understand...
Why do they call it Bucky paper?
Because Bucky balls were a discovery of... a carbon form, basically 60 atoms of carbon that formed a ball that looked like a soccer ball, except it also looked like a Buckminster Fuller dome.
Mm-hmm.
And so to honor Bucky Fuller, they named it Bucky Ball.
Ah.
Well, it turns out, if you take one of those circles and pull it right, it turns into a tube.
Huh.
And nanotubes are really Bucky tubes, and Bucky tubes collect together in strings to make these nanofibers, all right? Now, here's the big deal about Bucky paper, or it's really nanopaper, okay, but it's made purely out of carbon. That's what's so cool about it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It conducts electricity like copper, Jim.
Wow.
Remember how we said, boy, we're going to have this copper shortage, and what are we going to do without it? Well, this is as good as copper, except it's made out of carbon, which is the most common material we got on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So it kills about 20 birds with one stone. So here's what I say to all the small business owners. Google Bucky Paper. Read up on it. And by the way, I've sent you some so they can come to your site, and I've given them some hooks there. But read up on it and ask themselves, how could I use this material in my business? And start thinking now about it. Don't wait for the 3-year or 5-year mark when this stuff rolls out. Start thinking now. Yeah. Because that's what we futurists want you guys to do, is to say, if this is happening, early on is the time I have my most leverage for coming up with the good ideas. Let me start thinking now.
All right. I want to move on down to another one. You got something here that looks like somebody's going to start messing with my hamburger.
Yeah.
Don't go messing with my hamburger now.
What's interesting is these guys, it's Jason Methany, M-E-T-H-A-N-Y. He's a biologist at Johns Hopkins University, and he basically founded a company called New Harvest to grow meat without a cow. In other words, this is
that's just wrong. That's just wrong on so many levels, Joe.
Well, listen to his
As an old cattle farmer, I mean, I grew up on a farm. That's just wrong.
Okay, but listen, he has a counter to this. This is what cracks me up. The guy's really got a sense of humor. He said, if you think it's unnatural, it's less unnatural than raising farm animals in intensive confinement, injecting them with synthetic hormones, feeding them artificial diets made up of antibiotics and animal waste.
Okay. See, that's not how my animals were raised. But
no,
I guess you got a point there. Okay. So how does he do this?
Well, it actually takes animal stem cells. You know, you can turn them into anything.
Yeah.
You trigger them to become muscle. Then as you grow them, you stimulate them electrically, and they actually develop fiber and texture. Now,
do you remember the Star Trek The Next Generation? Do you ever watch that? See, I'm a major Star Trek Next Generation fan. I love that show. But they have this replicator. Is this what we're looking at in the future?
This is a version of the replicator. And by the way, it was space travel that triggered the whole thought.
Yeah.
If you're in space for 6 or 8 months, you need protein replacement. Wouldn't it be nice if you could have a steak? You know, well, here's a possibility. And I guess, again, you know, we talk about paradigm shifts. This is a paradigm shift.
Right.
By the way, the animals, if you're a PETA person, you know, against killing animals, this is your solution to making you and me happy so we can have our hamburgers.
And not having to eat tofu.
Exactly. There you go. That's right.
Honey bandage. I got 30 seconds. Honey bandages. Tell us about that real quick. This is fascinating.
This is fascinating. They have discovered that unprocessed honey is a wonderful wound sealer and antibiotic. It actually kills infection inside it. And by the way, if you go back and read old histories, medieval histories, they talk about putting honey on wounds. Well, it's now modern.
Is there anything more wonderful in nature than honey?
I don't think so.
It's amazing. Well, it's an amazing thing, isn't it, the bees?
I was going to say my honey is.
we should be revering bees all over the place. Hey, Joel, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Good talking to you, Jim.
Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. What a great addition to our brain trust he is. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I want to remind you, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.